He's a vocalist that provides a clean, pure blend with any group he's with, but a strong enough singer to stand on his own. Today, the many talents of Wesley Pritchard.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
There are guys you hear and you see and you never forget, no matter what they do or what groups they change up with. And this guy here, we're going to hear his story from beginning up until what he's doing now. And the name Wesley Pritchard is a name, undoubtedly, that you've heard of and a voice that you know in gospel music. So, Wesley, it's good to talk to you. It's good to hear your story.
Man, it's great to talk to you, too.
You know, I watch a lot of Gaither videos and learned, even back in the early 90s, was learning a lot about gospel music. At my age, a lot of it's history by these videos. And then I started seeing new faces along the way. And you know, sometimes I think, well, they're just new artists doing their thing. But then I found out even some of the young faces had history. I mean, they had lots of history. And then I start learning more about you. And I guess probably outside of some of the Gaither videos, I started seeing you big time with the Old Friends Quartet. I think we all remember with George and Jake and Ernie. So let's go back to the beginning. And by the way, you're a North Carolina guy. Have you always been a North Carolina kid?
Yeah, I was actually born in the western part of North Carolina, and my dad is a pastor, and so we moved down in the eastern part of the state to Fayetteville in the mid '60s, and I moved to Nashville lived a few years when I got out of high school, but other than that, I've been a North Carolina boy my whole life. I've been right here.
So, what was growing up like?
Well, my dad, like I said, my dad was a pastor, and so any revival that my daddy had, or every time there was an opportunity, he had me standing on a chair somewhere singing. You can believe that.
and when you talk to a lot of these singers, they are kind of like preacher's kids, or they grew up in the music. Yep. And so the ministry was never separate. It wasn't like, okay, now that I'm a teenager, or now that I'm in college, now I'm going to invest my life in the ministry. It's like you always were. And so it was kind of what you know, and you hear like Tanya Goodman and people like this talk about growing up and purple buses were just a part of their normal childhood.
That's exactly right. You know, for me, I didn't really know when I was a kid growing up, because when I was about 9 years old, my dad had a gospel quartet called the Centurions, and dad brought home a little bass guitar, and I started playing bass with his quartet. I didn't even know what key I was playing in, but I would kind of find it and then kind of just hang on until the end of the song. But I didn't know it at that point when I was a kid that, you know, all the songs that my dad's quartet sang, that I had to learn all the different parts and learn everything that was going on, it would help me so much later on when we started doing all the Gaither videos, and we went right back to doing some of those songs, you know, like The Lighthouse and all the stuff that his quartet sang. So I didn't know it at such a young age that I was kind of in a training class to get ready for what was going to happen later on in life. So that was fun.
And bass playing is something that you also are known for. I mean, we know vocally what you do, but a lot of times I'll see you in the background, in some cases, with Gordon on piano.
It was so funny when I first started working with Gaither, he didn't even know I played bass, and we were actually on stage one night, and Kevin was playing guitar on something, and the bass was sitting there, and so I reached over and I picked up the bass, and Bill, I just saw him look at me kind of strange, like, you play bass? He didn't even know that I played. So it's been fun to be able to kind of do more than one thing, you know. Yeah. It's been fun.
Wesley Pritchard is my guest today. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
I saw him in the evening. The sun was sinking low. He'd overcome the mountain and reach the vale below. He saw that golden city, his everlasting home, and shouted loud, Hosannas, deliverance has come. Then arms of victory, crowns of glory, arms of victory, I shall wear.
Like the Daniel Britt and Friends page on Facebook, tweet at Britt and Friends on Twitter, or simply visit the full site at danielbritt.com.
Fear not, the angels said, behold, the Messiah's come, the one of whom you read. And
peace spoke to men that day. The heavenly host around the throne joined in to say, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announced his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy, ye the born, save the world from sin. Glory to God in the highest glory, hallelujah to the Lord, amen. The wise men come, offering their praise to God's anointed one. And as they speak, their heartfelt love, this glorious sound falls on my ears from up above. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announce his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah to the Lord, sing holy. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill to men. Heavenly angels announce his arrival in the little town of Bethlehem. Hallelujah, holy, holy, he was born, save the world, was saved by sin. Glory to God in the highest glory. Hallelujah to the Lord, amen.
Sing glory to God in the highest.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends, today featuring the multiple talents of Wesley Pritchard. And we've talked about, obviously, vocal and bass playing. But let's go back, before we go any further on the talent stuff, let's just talk about, you know, through your teenage years. That's always, you know, a pleasant topic.
So, yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, I mean, so you're starting to develop your own ideas of life, and you're starting to think about the future, and then you move out of high school. So where did music really become more than just something you do in the garage, you know?
Well, you know, when I graduated from high school, I was accepted at Oral Roberts University, and I was getting ready to go to ORU the summer after my high school year, and I got a call about coming to Nashville and playing bass for a group, and the group was called Higher Ground. And so I went that summer and played bass for them, and as fate would kind of have it, the tenor singer that was with the group left. And so that was like, you want to sing? And I was like, sure, I'll sing and play. And then later on that year, we hired a keyboard player, and we didn't know then that he would be a famous keyboard player, but our keyboard player at that time was Michael W. Smith.
Wow.
So that was that was kind of the beginning. So I was there, me and Michael W. Smith, Wayne Hilliard and Lee Hilliard, we were all together traveling, and I was with Michael when he was writing those first songs like, Oh Lord, Oh Lord, How Majestic Is Your Name, and Great Is the Lord. It was on his very first project. So that was kind of the beginning. I was 18 years old and, you know, was traveling and singing and doing what I loved. And so I kind of left Oral Roberts University in Oklahoma, and I stayed in Nashville for a while. So that was kind of the beginning.
And up until that point, I mean, what had you done musically? Did you do stuff around town locally or bands or what?
Yeah, I was a music theater kid that loved to do, you know, the different music theater things here. We have a regional theater here in our hometown, so I would do stuff growing up there and do stuff in high school. I still think my best voice training was from my high school chorus teacher. She was just absolutely wonderful. And she was just out of college herself. It was her first year teaching, and she was just absolutely wonderful. She was one of the best teachers I've ever had. So I attribute a lot of what my knowing how to sing and not just being able to sing to her. She was fabulous.
Sweet at the feet of Jesus. Where can mortal be more blessed? Sorrows, and when weary find sweet grace, sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray.
Wesley Pritchard is here on Daniel Britt and Friends. Kind of a question that we can get to a little bit later has to do with your work in church circles now and choir.
Yes, exactly.
and all kind of stuff. So as you're thinking about the early days of your life and thinking about where you are now, And this could be a political question for you because of your position, but maybe we can get an honest answer out of you.
Sure.
What do you miss most about church worship, corporate worship, maybe worship services that no longer seem to happen quite the same way anymore?
I think a lot of it would be spontaneity is a lot. But growing up, we never really had, our church was never one that just kind of followed a bulletin and followed, you know, what we absolutely had to do. And even now, in later on, we're kind of locked in because we don't use a bulletin, but still we have a song list because all of the PowerPoint and all of the easy worship stuff has to work on all the screens. And, yeah. You know, it's programmed a little more. And sometimes the flow, I don't think, is there. We try to do it as much as we can, you know, in our church now. But I feel like a lot of the flow has come to programming a little bit more. And so I think that's as much it as anything else, is just kind of waiting and seeing who was going to show up next, you know.
And you know, the worship wars is something that's probably been going on for longer than any of us care to admit. But I mean, like Dr. Reggie Kidd wrote the book With One Voice, and he talks about, you know, how everything has changed and how we can pull out our howitzers and want to blow away the other side with our arguments. But what you said is really insightful, because you know, one could say, well, they're not singing the hymns, or they're doing too much contemporary, or they brought the drums and or all this stuff. But, you know, what you said is very, very good point on the spontaneity part of things, which is, I mean, if you think about it, I don't know that we necessarily have all the power to totally suppress the Holy Spirit. But, you know, I think that you certainly can make it more difficult for that to just naturally happen.
Absolutely. You know, the one thing that we're told about worship in the Bible is that we're to worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, it doesn't say that all that has to come through worship courses. It doesn't say it has to come through, you know, only hymns. It says to worship in spirit and in truth. And I think that he's a God that yearns for our worship. I mean, we were made in the beginning, you know, to commune with him and to be with him. And so he's searching for us to worship him. I think stylistically we all get, you know, I feel like stylistically we all get all kind of caught up in, well, this worship style is not for me, this worship style is not for you. But the main thing is the worship that I'm bringing in spirit and in truth, and is God going to accept what I'm doing? And I think that's a big thing. He looks on the matters of the heart. He's really not looking to where we're doing Amazing Grace with a pipe organ, or we're doing Amazing Grace with a drum kit and, you know, four guys playing guitars.
Yeah.
It's what's your heart doing?
Higher Ground was a group you said you joined, and what years are we talking about when you were with that group?
Wow, I moved to Nashville in 1979, so it was 79, 80, 81. I came back to North Carolina in 82, so it was those early 80s when we all had really bad hair, I guess. We had the permy-looking hair for a while.
See, I mean, here again, I'm seeing such a young face on TV and on the videos, and I'm thinking, this guy probably has no history. He's just new in the music and can sing, and they've discovered him, and here you got this long history. So through the 80s, and gospel music, what we know as Southern gospel, quartet stuff, I mean, it was doing its thing big time at this point. Was that a sound that was catching your ear, too? Were you in the thick of that, what we would call Southern gospel?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was what my bread and butter was growing up. And when I moved back to North Carolina, we would have all the different groups, the Cathedrals, the Neelands, the Lefevers, the Kingsmen. We would have all those different groups, Oak Ridge Boys, at the church at different times. And so, you know, I would sit there on the front row in awe of all these singers that would come in and just, you know, wanting to be a part of what they were doing. And that's really what I still, in my early 20s, was still cutting my teeth on, was, you know, quartet music. I absolutely love that kind of music.
And I'm thinking probably roughly, give or take a few, maybe this 10-year span, mid-80s through the what I would consider the time maybe when I was introduced to you in the mid-late 90s or so.
Yeah, exactly.
On the videos, Gaither videos. Did you have different things you were doing during that? That's kind of a long period maybe, but
that whole time I felt like I was being kind of in preparation for what the Lord had in store for me in the middle 90s, because those few years, I mean, of course, that was the years that my wife and I were raising our children. We have grown children now, but we were married in 1979, and by 1983, we had two kids, and we didn't know what we were doing. We were just kind of, so through those middle 80 years, early 90s, we were growing up our kids, and I was doing as much as I could to hone my skills, not only singing, but working in the studio, working for different groups, and started working with a guy named Milton Smith that I still work with now that's a great keyboard player. And he and I, we started a little studio and started recording some local groups in the studio, and that I feel like those middle years of in the 80s were really preparing me for what the Lord had in store, you know, in the middle 90s with the Gaither Homecoming people.
Wesley Pritchard's on the show today. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. This is Daniel Britt and Friends. Wesley Pritchard's my guest today. I think he's got to be one of the youngest looking old guys I've ever met. I didn't realize you got grown kids. I mean, you're shattering all my preconceived ideas about you.
I have, my kids, let's see, my daughter's 31, my son is 29, and I have 4 grandchildren and number 5 on the way. So I'm a bustling 51 now. So
that's it. Well, you started early and vibrant, and that's good. I mean, you've done so much. Let's talk about, and we'll go back to the studio stuff, but let's talk about the old Friends years, because this, the way I recall this, the Cathedrals had retired. Right. Jake was, I think, Jake Hess was traveling with the Gaither Tour solo. Mm-hmm. So you had George Jans and you had Ernie, and of course, Ernie and George, father-son-in-law. They formed this quartet is formed. How did you get the call? Were you touring with them all at the same time and you were eating crackers back in the catering and you said, let's do this?
Man, that's almost exactly the way it happened. We were actually at the Cove at the Billy Graham Training Center, and we were doing a couple of the Billy Graham videos. In fact, the video that we were doing the actual day that Old Friends was, I guess, kind of born, was the one where we all dressed up in kind of the old-timey looking outfits, and we did the video at the church. I think it was the church in the Wildwood or something like that. But that day was the day the Old Friends was formed, and we really were. We were sitting at lunch that day, and I was sitting at a table with a couple of guys I think I was sitting there with Stephen Hill and Woody and a couple of the guys, and George and Jake were sitting at a table with Bill, and they called me over, and Wesley said, we got an idea, and we want to know if you wanted to be a part. And I was like, sure. I mean, at that, you know, I was jumping up and down to even be called over to that table. So I walked over to the table, and Ernie had just come over and sat down, and Bill said, hey, we've got an idea. Said, Jake and George would like to maybe do some quartet things together. And George said that, you know, he would like to have Ernie to travel and sing with him, to sing tenor, but we need somebody that can sing a baritone part below Jake. And then, you know, when stuff gets too high, be able to take the high stuff and let Jay kind of coast for a little while and sing above him. And we wanted to know if you would be interested in singing with Jake and George and Ernie. And it could be like some old friends. And somebody was like, old friends quartet. So that was kind of, we sat there and, man, my eyes, I was like total bug eyes. I couldn't hardly speak. I was jumping up and down. I could not wait to get to my phone and call my dad. And so, Dad, you're not going to believe he wants me to sing with them. I was just going crazy.
Oh, wow. Man.
That was unbelievable. What an opportunity.
Oh, yeah. And you guys did some great music, some stuff that, still is recognizable. Of course, you did some classic stuff that, you know, and brought that sound back in a fresh way.
And, we went into the studio with that, Bill told me when I went in, because Bill was there, the very first time we ever sang together was actually in the studio. We had never, ever sang on stage. We hadn't done anything. We haven't rehearsed. We walked in the studio the very first time, and Bill told me, he said, you know that I'm handing you the crown jewels, and talking about Jake and George, he said, I'm handing you the crown jewels. He said, you be gentle with them. So that was in the first day in the studio, we walked in, and the first song we ever sang was, how long has it been since I walked with the Lord? That was the first thing we ever sang together.
Wow. Incredible experience, I'm sure.
It was fabulous.
And you guys did limited touring. I don't remember there being a 50 or 90 city tour on this thing, you know, obviously with their age. But
it was kind of crazy in a way, because the very first date that we did, we sang at the National Quartet Convention, was the first place we ever sang.
Wow.
And then I think that year we did all together, we did like 51 or 52 dates as Old Friends Quartet. We did more than that on the Gaither stage, but just Old Friends by themselves, I think we did about 50 or 51 dates. That was it.
Wesley Pritchard, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
The winds of war keep raging through the land, far and near. The cry of hungry children, the pain of falling tears. Nations gather round the table. Peace they've tried for years, yet war still rages higher, sweeping through the battlefield. the promise came from heaven of blessed peace and hope. Battles, they keep raging higher. We will have no fear. The Savior's arms are open, and soon He shall appear. It's almost over. We are going home. Our Lord is
This is Daniel Britt and Friends. Wesley Pritchard's my guest today. Hey, let's talk about this because some people think it's a lost art, but then again, we still have Kindles and Nooks and things like that where we can read on the go and with new technology. So let's talk about books for a minute. Are you much of a reader?
I am. I kind of have to read a lot working at the church and doing what I do at the church, but I don't read as much as I feel like I should just because time constraints, but I do enjoy it.
Well, here's the question. What's the last book that you've read or a book you've read lately that you're still thinking back on, you're still quoting a lot, or you refer people back to a lot?
And I would say I absolutely love Andy Andrews. I think his writing is just fabulous. And I read The Time Traveler's Gift was one of the things that I just read recently, and I absolutely love all the twists and all the turns to that book. The way that he takes all the different characters and puts them in place. And it's almost like you can see the movie happening before your eyes. That's one of my favorite things that I've read recently. It was wonderful.
He's an incredible author, but you know, I think maybe it's a conspiracy. Is he running for president next time around?
You know, what's so funny is with one of his new books, he sent me a bracelet that says, "How loud are you singing?" And I actually have it on today. So are you talking? Are you singing? You know, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's incredible. And everybody, if one more person tells me how much they love Andy Andrews.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
But he is incredible. I love him. All right. Well, Old Friends did its thing. Now, let me go back to this real quick. In 2000, I think it was early 2002, just after 9/11, you guys were in Carnegie right. Hall, at Carnegie Hall right. in New York. Was Old Friends a part of that night, the formal quartet?
Yeah, we were. And honestly, that was the last night we sang together.
Yeah.
That we, you know, in our brief history, here's your history of Old Friends. We opened up the very first time we ever sang at National Quartet Commission, and then we sang however many dates, and then we sang our last time ever on the stage at Carnegie Hall. Wow. It was right after 9/11, and actually that night we did a song called Great Day. There's going to be a great day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When we did that song, George and Jake both had pacemakers and defibrillators in their heart. And when we did that song, George's defibrillator went off right at the end of that song.
Yeah.
And he almost passed out on stage. I mean, it hit him so hard.
Yeah.
And so they took him backstage and worked on George backstage, and he was fine. But, you know, when the people that have those, I guess when they go off, it just knocks you out. But he went back and sat down. Well, later in the show that same night, we were supposed to do one of the songs that we were going to do, a bunch of us guys, was a Gaither song called A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
And so, you know, men full of compassion who laugh and love and cry. And at that, and during that song, we were going to bring out some of the New York City firemen, policemen, and some of the first responders to 9/11 to honor them. Mm. Well, there was four or five guys that were EMTs that were there that were supposed to come out. They were all dressed in their dress uniforms. But they refused to come out on stage because they stayed back in the back and took care of George until the ambulance could come and take him to the hospital to get him checked out and make sure everything was okay. So they gave away their time in the spotlight that night at Carnegie Hall to do what they do best, which was help someone else. That was one of my favorite things that happened that night. Not that George was sick, but just the heart that those guys showed that night. It was fabulous.
Well, and it was not long before George passed away that we sat down and talked with him, and he recounted that night pretty much with those same words. But let's listen now to George Yontz as he talks about that night in Carnegie Hall. The Old Friends Quartet, is it mainly just a recording group now?
Well, we were going to travel when we did this last album, but then Jake had his problems, and then my dialysis started really taking a toll on me for 2 years. On Friday, after dialysis, I get home by 10. Well, Gaither would pick me up in his jet at noon. Mm-hmm. We'd fly somewhere for Friday night and do a concert. Then we'd fly somewhere Saturday. After I got off stage on Saturday, he'd fly me right back home. And Kent State has a little airport about 3 minutes from my house, which made it unbelievable, you know. So those 2 years, I think, maybe took too much of a toll on me. By doing dialysis and traveling like that, I got to where I just couldn't hold my head up, you know. Mm. So in Carnegie Hall, it all came to a head in Carnegie Hall. I passed out I grabbed a hold of Jake and made it through the song. You can't tell it on the video, but Ernie and them had to carry me off stage.
The Old Friends Quartet, give a good hand.
Video where we do Great Day.
Right.
That's where I passed out. I told the people later, my heart went crazy, you know. Yeah. I told people I sung my heart out in Carnegie Hall.
Well, I remember hearing that story, and Ernie or someone was writing about it later, and they said that the firefighters who were backstage, part of the tribute to be performed at the Carnegie Hall performance that night, a lot of the firefighters kind of treated you very special that
day. They ratted around me. They saw what happened when they come camera stage. They set me in a chair, and two of them knelt down. And the first thing they did, both of them put a hand on each knee. They prayed the sweetest prayer you ever heard in your life. And then they said, "George, we got the ambulance out here waiting on you." And I said, "You know what? The pilot is out at the airport waiting on me in the plane. I got a private jet. He'll fly me right." They said, "George, you need to go check this out before you go home." So they told. I never been treated. And two of those guys, they were going to. There was a song that Gaither was going to sing in honor of the firefighters. Well, they were still with me when it was time to go on stage. Those two said, "Hey guys, you guys go out. We feel better here with George. We're going to help him to the ambulance."
Wow.
So they missed their tribute for the people to applaud for them to take care of an old man, and I'll never forget that.
That's what heroism is all about, isn't it, George?
Absolutely, absolutely. Those guys, they wanted to take care of me. They didn't want to go out and grab any glory, you know, or any applause from the audience. They wanted to make sure that I made it to the ambulance and made it to the hospital.
Well, George Yuntz, and obviously a guy that Wesley Pritchard got to know. Wesley Pritchard's my guest here on Daniel Britton Friends. We've talked about the old Friends Quartet that was with George Yuntz and Ernie Haas and Jake Hess. So this thing ended probably around 2002. And so since 2002, past 10 years or so now, you've been doing a lot, and I guess you've been doing it before then, but a lot of studio work.
That's been, I've been doing that for a long time and absolutely love it. That's one of my favorite things that I do is bringing groups in and working on their vocals and helping them with their parts and hopefully making them better than they think they really are, you know, and just making a difference in producing stuff and just ideas. And I absolutely love the creativity of the studio.
And then not only that, again, this is the many faces of Wesley Pritchard that we're hearing today. And this is a vocal guy. You got, let's talk about quartet guy. You got bass player. We've got the studio work, and then you've got the church work, and we alluded to this earlier, but you have an incredible choir.
We have a good choir.
Oh, man. And so you've got, I mean, obviously, you know, the choir is good, and those are talented people, but you're doing, I'm assuming that it comes with the job description of arranger and choir director. I mean, tell me about that job. Kind of paint that picture for me.
Well, I've been doing that back and forth. It's really been a blessing for me to be able to go, and the church has been wonderful to allow me to go and be able to do what I did with the Gaithers and with Old Friends Quartet and all that, and still be able to come home. And I was the choir director at Fayetteville Community Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina, where my dad and mom have pastored until 3 years ago. And then 3 years ago, I went from being choir director to a senior pastor, and I've been doing that for 3 years now. But my time as the choir director there, it's just we got to do so many good things. We sang at Jubilate, at all the Gaither things that he would do in Charlotte, the New Year's Eve celebrations. Mm-hmm. And then we sang back up for different groups all through the years. I would bring members of the choir into the studio and like the song that Gold City did, Pray, Preach the Word. We did Preach the Word with Gold City and did all that's our choir on the back. And we've been able to do a whole lot of different stuff through the years.
Well, it's incredible, and I see you at different events, and and then you've got this part. I mean, it kind of goes with the studio opera. Sometimes you're doing like on-site engineering at some of gospel music's big major events around the country, and that, I mean, it blows my mind to see where you're going to pop up next, Wesley.
That I love doing that because of my experience in the studio and with singers and listening to them and knowing parts. I've been able to actually run house and run monitors at Quartet Convention and at the Great Western Fan Festival that they do out in in Fresno, California, or I think they're in Vidalia now, but, and in the Canadian Quartet Convention, I've done that, and some of the things with Abraham Productions in Myrtle Beach and in Gatlinburg. And the artists like to see an artist on the side of the stage, yeah, because they know that I understand what they want to hear. Because if I'm up there singing, I want somebody on monitors that knows what they're doing, or I want somebody in the house that'll make me sound better than I really do.
And you, yeah, you do so well. People are always talking, hey, Wesley's over there. Get him up there to sing, or he's going to treat you right. All right, so let's talk about your family now. You said you got your kids that are grown. Are they out of the house?
Yeah, they are. My daughter's married. She's a speech teacher, and my son is also married. He's a sales rep for a telecommunications company. And thank the Lord, they live about 10-15 minutes from our house. Wow. So we get to hang out with our grandchildren a whole lot.
And tell me again where home is for you right now.
I live in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Fayetteville. Talk to me about your wife. How has she put up with you all these years, changing all these different avenues of your career, I guess?
Well, I think it's a little bit like what Lisa, Ernie Haas's wife, said. She said, Ernie said, she'll walk into the kitchen sometimes, said, and now when are you leaving again this week? I think that's the best. That they look forward to those times when you get back on an airplane or get back on a bus and head out of the house. But they just kind of wait for you to leave. But it's been good. We've been very blessed. We've been married this year, 31 years.
Wow. Is she, I mean, you have a lot of creativity in what you do, obviously. Is she a creative type? And if so, do you sometimes have too much creativity, like in the kitchen together, and you're knocking heads and one of you's got to get out?
I pretty much drive her crazy. I think that would be the height of it.
Okay.
You know, she just wants me to hush sometimes and not think no more.
Yeah, right, right.
I want to be more like Jesus, every day,
every hour.
I want to be more like Jesus, every day. Oh, I want to be, I want to see, I want to live, I want to give, I want to be more like Jesus, every day. I want him to guide me in all I do. I want his arms to caress me all day through. Oh, I want to walk, I want to talk, I want to cry, I want to die, I want to be more like Jesus every day. I want to walk in the sunlight of his love. I want him to lead me with that heavenly light from above. Oh, to grow in grace, run this old race, sinners to teach, gospel to preach, see thousands fed, raise up the dead. I want to be holy, I want to be lowly, then I will be kind and have a mind. Cast devils out, question never doubt. Oh, I want to be more like Jesus.
Church is incredible. I've heard nothing but great things there. And of course, everything you do seems to be now. But here's the trick question. With all the different talents, with all that you can do, and we've focused on that, we're going to go down to something here. Talk about this. Maybe it's something you just absolutely hated, but you had to do it. And let's just even get more specific. Let's talk about Dirty Jobs. You know that show on TV. Mike Rowe is the host. If you were to invite him to relive your dirtiest job, whether it was around the house, maybe it's from your childhood, maybe it was something to do while traveling on a bus, what would you imagine would be the dirtiest thing you've ever gotten involved in that you just never want to go back to?
There is no doubt in my mind what it would be. I actually, when I moved back from Nashville, I worked for a year. This is not the worst, but I worked for a year with U.S. Airways. I was a gate agent or a ramp agent for U.S. Airways. But then after that, I went to work for the Fayetteville, Cumberland County landfill.
Oh, my.
And I worked at the landfill and weighed garbage trucks. I worked on their scales in their scale room, and that was the worst. And so everybody, all of my friends made fun of me, like, every day, I know where you're going. You're going to be down in the dumps today. You know, so that was the nastiest, dirtiest job you could ever imagine, is I weighed garbage trucks from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday and some Saturdays, sitting in a little office and did nothing but work on a set of computerized scales.
And something tells me Yankee Candles probably couldn't cut it.
Man, there's no way. You want to hurry and take a bath when you got home. You can believe that.
Thoughtful dialogue, engaging music, and the laughter of the redeemed. This is Daniel Britton, friends.
Wesley Pritchard, so is there a place, do you have a hub, is there a website or something where we can keep up with you, or do you do social media?
Now, the best place to get me is our church website. They follow just about everything that I do, and it's FCCNC.us, Fayetteville Community Church, North Carolina, United States, FCCNC.us, and that'll get in touch and having all of my different places you can find me.
Now, I know you don't want, you know, the church is a sacred place, and but, you know, with the attention that has been brought to that church through your connections with gospel music and your own talent, do you find people, sometimes visitors popping in and then pulling you aside and say, we're just traveling through and this was on our map for a place to stop and worship?
We do, and that is one of the greatest things when people come in that have seen me on the videos or at the quartet convention or different places that recognize my face and they stop by the church, you know, just because of my connection with gospel music, or to come and hear our choir, or, you know, to come and hear a group that's coming in. And I love seeing those faces, and it's so funny because they'll ask me questions like, now, what were you wearing on the video in Atlanta? Weren't you wearing that really great, bright green coat?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that was me right there. I had a really long mullet and a bad green jacket. So they remember all of the details from all of the things. But I really absolutely love, you know, hearing the connection of where people met me and, you know, where they found me.
Well, that Atlanta, I was there. That was one of the most colorful videos as far as what the artists were wearing. It was very bright.
Yeah, you know, they always tell us on the videos, you know, they kind of give us when they send out the stuff and the songs to learn or whatever, they'll send out a paperwork and they'll say wear, you know, autumn colors, wear bright colors, wear, you know, something dressy, blacks, whites, whatever. They'll kind of give us an idea of what to wear. Yeah. And then it's so much fun to come up to the video and, you know, see who's dressed like you. And I'll never forget that day in Atlanta. I thought I was going to be the only one with the bright lime green, but no, Dean Hopper had it. Tanya Goodman Sykes had it. There was three or four of us had that bright lime green. You know, what were we all thinking at that time?
Man. Well, they're doing your church work in Fayetteville. Do you ever get questions or harassed or teased that, you know, what in the world, Fayetteville, North Carolina? Why not Nashville? You know, why not something more centrally located to do music? But it's really you're a hidden gem there, I think.
Well, you know, we've wondered the same thing, because in Fayetteville we're on kind of the eastern third of North Carolina. But this is where the Lord called us. You know, my dad came here in the middle '60s, and I tell everybody, you know, you can say whatever you want to about it, but for me and my family, it's been home, and it's a wonderful place to kind of, for us, we've had a great place to grow up our children. And I don't know if you know much about Fayetteville, but we're the home of the 82nd Airborne, Delta Force, the Fort Bragg is here.
Yeah.
And so we've had opportunities through the years to literally minister to people that will go around the world, you know, to come into our church, and we minister to them for a couple of years and then pour ourselves into them and then allow them to go really into uttermost parts of the earth, some of our guys, and minister the gospel.
Hey, in closing, just because it's very recent, do you want to say something about our late friend Stephen Hill?
Man, was he ever more my friend. In 1994, Daniel, the very first session that I ever did for Gaither Music, Stephen and I started working the exact same day. I walked into the session, he walked into the session the very first day. We were at a studio, at Ben Spears studio called Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, as so happens that day, the bass singers were Brock Spear, Rex Nealon. The lead singers were Glenn Payne and JKS and Terry Blackwood. And here was, you know, Stephen and I, with Robbie Heiner was singing tenor with us that day. But Stephen was such a great friend. He was such a good man. And we were at his funeral service this past week on the 13th of August, and he was just a true friend. I loved him so much, and I'm going to miss him dearly.
Oh yeah, he'd call and just encourage you, and sometimes it'd be out of the blue, and you think, "What do you want, Stephen?" And it was always an encouragement, you know.
Oh, he was a cut up. He really was. He was always had something going, and he would call me on the phone, and I would try to get him to say something, and he would try to be quiet on the phone and wouldn't say anything. Stephen, I know this is you. I have caller ID. I saw your name come up. There's no doubt that it's you. Say something. I'm going to miss those phone calls.
Well, Wesley Pritchard, thanks for your time today, and keep on doing what you're doing and all those. I mean, let's just pray over Wesley that he doesn't get tired, and what's the verse, weary and well-doing, right?
Yeah, don't get weary and well-doing, that's right.
So thanks for what you're doing, and thanks for taking time to share your story with us.
Thank you, my friend. It's been my pleasure.
Listening to Daniel Britton Friends, each week Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britton Friends.